Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this week's episode of Game Cabinet. This week, we're opening up the doors and reaching in and pulling out holiday specials. This week, we've got a wonderful line of games that are ready for your absolute holiday best. With the holidays just around the season, we figured we'd give you guys some games and party games to simple games for you and one other person to play and move on with for your day.
Good stuff for when you're stuck indoors.
Yeah.
With people that maybe you really like and maybe you kind of tolerate.
See, this is where I think it's one of those really good chances for, like, to play Coup. That's always one of my first suggestions for holiday games. Primarily because of that one employee game night we had. I think it was our Christmas game night
or something. Yeah.
But
Where Justin was there.
Yeah, I had a blast with it, and it was super rad, and it was the first time I'd ever played that game, so I became a really big fan with how many people you could get into it. But I think this is a good time to play games like Coup with people, and then just go for the throat constantly. Like, just get at them.
If you've missed our episodes where we repeatedly talk about Coup, it's a game about bluffing and backstabbing.
Yep.
Just...
You really get to know...
That's pretty much it.
That's it. Just bluffing, lying, backstabbing.
You really get to know which ones are your friends and family are good liars.
Though, I think you get that top tier win if you manage to play like a nice person the whole time. Like,
if you
manage to like actually play the game just using the cards and not bluffing and trying to go for people, just being like, nope, I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do here.
You mean the playthrough that I played with you guys where I literally never lied the entire time and everyone thought I was lying because I kept drawing the same card over and over and over again?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I'm going to do the ambassador thing. And they're like, no, you've done that 6 times. And I'm like, and now it's 7.
Because I took another ambassador card.
Nobody expects the honest play.
That's the best way to play those kinds of games.
Hal and I were talking, and I was like, the best way to do that is just to play completely honest to the point where everybody calls you out like 4 or 5 times, so they stop thinking you're lying, and then you can just lie
the whole time. Yeah.
I think longtime listeners will know that we did one of these last year where we kind of just talked about our favorite party game. But we have more people here. And more people to make, or new games have come out.
Yeah.
This entire year has been crazy for games, and I'm excited for next year.
Yeah. I was like, man, there's so many good games that we talked about last year, and there's so many good games that came out this year. Like, so many good games.
But I'm going to throw it over to George, who was just telling me he built a nice, wonderful holiday guide for us. So,
yeah.
Well, for the store, but we're going
to
use it.
If you come in and happen to shop at Adventures Underground here, starting probably next month sometime, you'll see a written form of basically the list that I've got here. And I have not played all of them, but these are like perpetually great sellers and things that people really seem to be stoked about. One of them, I really want to play this first one on the list called Ark Nova.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the box to that.
It looks so cool.
It looks a little trippy, and I'm excited. I want to play it.
It's got a kind of crazy looking cover to it, but I think, honestly, it's like Zoo Tycoon.
Oh, that makes me want to play it more.
I love Zoo Tycoon.
that only made this better.
Absolutely.
I am super down.
Nice.
So yeah, I mean, you use cards to develop your zoo that represent buildings, animals, workers, like different sponsors, and then you design a modern, scientifically managed zoo. It just came out, like, within the last year, and it's in the top 5 on Board Game Geek, like, on the overall list.
That's better than Gloomhaven hit.
It's insane that it's up that high that fast.
I want to play that. That sounds amazing.
Yeah. It reminds me complexity level of something like Terraforming Mars, but just with the theme of you're building a zoo and curating it for animals
rather
and stuff, which is so much more delightful than just terraforming a weird space planet.
I love that.
Anyways.
Aww. The box is so cool.
It really is. A couple of these on this list we have talked about ad nauseum, so I probably don't need to go too deep into them. But just these ones also, just if you happen to be a local person that listens to this podcast, these ones are ones we're hoping to have on the shelf for the holidays too, which is part of the reason that they made it onto the list. But
if you're not a local person, we can ship pretty much everywhere.
Yep.
If you live in Europe, it's going to be really expensive, but I could still ship stuff to you. I'll do it.
Let us know. We can figure it out. So Wingspan is like, you know, okay, yeah, okay, this is very dumb, but I'm so pleased with myself. Look, it's a plane. No, it's Superman. No, it's a competitive medium weight card driven engine building board game about birds.
Oh my God, I love that so much, George. You had way too much fun with that.
I did. With gorgeous artwork to boot, and the number one rated family game on Board Game Geek, you play as bird enthusiasts trying to discover and attract the best birds to your network of wildlife preserves over a four-turn game.
It's great. Highly recommend. There's expansions about, like, European birds and other kinds of birds.
So there's an Asia expansion coming out, which adds about 100 more birds, I think.
Oh my gosh, Asian birds are beautiful.
Asian birds are beautiful.
It is actually going to act as a standalone, I think, one or two player game, or you can,
as well as an expansion,
so you can either play it like as a two player game with one other person, or you can smush it into the game, and you can actually play with up to six or seven people with Wingspan at that point.
Wingspan was on my list. I didn't even know they had an Asian one coming. That's so cool.
I don't think it's out quite yet, but I think it'll be out in time for holidays.
Okay,
or for spending your holiday money.
True.
Indeed.
Somebody gives you money for Christmas. Buy a game.
So
I wish that was on my list of things to buy this year.
Oh, I know.
Wingspan?
Games in general.
Yeah. I mean,
being an adult is stupid.
It's true. True.
To any of our younger listeners, don't grow up.
And then, like, the painful thought crosses my mind. Like, if I knew I was going to have a flood in my basement, I would have just gotten it snaked earlier and saved the money.
Sure. That is just being an adult, though, those things happen, and then you go, I should have known.
I should have.
I should have just known.
Well, I mean, yeah. Anyway, moving right along.
Hindsight, 2020, always.
I think I'm legally blind without my glasses.
It's fair. My eyes also don't work.
This is too early in the morning for you guys to be obsessing about birds.
Birds are awesome,
Drew.
Birds
are so cool.
They're also not real.
Oh my God. Yep. Spy drones. We have an entire Underground Files episode about that way in the Wayback Machine if anybody wants to go listen to it.
Nice.
That lady's downstairs.
Yeah.
So
it's good she can't scream into the microphone.
She would do that.
She does do that. She's so loud.
I am now the microphone.
So Dice Throne had a Marvel little appendage grow out from the side of it that you can combine with any of the other ones.
I really want that game.
Marvel appendage?
I'm just imagining Dice Throne is just like an anthropomorphic blob where it's just like growing
it's
little
Thor's
tentacles.
Hammer that comes out the side.
No, it's Box Robot.
No, it's a fleshy lump is what it is.
It's Voltron.
No.
Can it be a fleshy, pulpy Voltron?
Yeah.
Okay. I hate this. I hate that.
I want Dice Thrones really bad. Ever since I played it on Tabletopia, I've been wanting to pick up a copy of any of them. And
right.
I have been too lazy and not.
Dice Throne looks amazing. It looks really, really good. And they have a Marvel expansion now.
And they do.
Yeah, it comes with what? Scarlet Witch, Miles Morales, Black Panther, and Thor?
I think so. Then there's eight characters in total. There's a box, there's the main one that has four, and then two expansions that have two characters each.
Oh, I haven't even seen the other two. It's Loki.
There's
and
Loki,
Thor?
Miles Morales, Thor, and Scarlet Witch.
Not Black Panther.
Yeah. I think Black Panther's in one of the expansions,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, he's in one of the expansions.
And then.
Dope.
Black Widow, I think, is also
in
the expansion.
It's Black Panther and Black Widow in the same one.
Cool. And then Doctor Strange.
And then Captain Marvel as well.
There you go. There you go. Nailed it.
Doctor Strange!
So, I mean, I'm just glad they made them compatible with all the other ones, because that adds so much more potential for that to be, like, possibly game-breaky, but I mean, I guess it'll matter on how good each of the characters are, since everybody's unique.
If you make sure you balance it as well as your previous stuff, I think it's fun. There are some other gamed out there that are currently meshing lots and lots of different brands together.
Right.
And I think it's fun to see some of the things that we really never get to see, like DC and Marvel being in the same universe, you know, half a dozen animes and Marvel being in the same universe.
Oh, man.
I mean, at this point, I'm pretty sure you can have a One Punch Man stand next to Batman and Superman. So you can actually have an entire team of Supermen that are all based off of Superman. with Superman on it.
Like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's weird things like that, but I'm really stoked when people are starting to be like, yeah, and then there's this other universe.
I like also that Marvel and DC aren't doing the whole, like, no, you can't have our intellectual property and their intellectual property. We're not friends.
Actually, I think that they were lawyered on that one.
I don't care. I don't care who made them sit down and behave. I'm just glad that they're sitting down and behaving. I mean, they've already done crossovers.
I mean, Fortnite had, like, Marvel and DC.
That's what I was talking about.
I'm pretty sure.
And I think that it was Big Daddy THQ Nordic that was like, so, we happen to buy this company, we happen to buy this company, and they both happen to have technically the rights to your guys' property, so we're going to go ahead and put them in Fortnite now because we can.
Nice.
And I'm 90% sure that that's how that happened. Was they were just kind of like,
just put them in their place.
Yeah, just whatever. Like, so technically we have the license to both of these, so we're going to go ahead and use the license to both of these. Well, we don't want to be used in their
stuff.
I
wonder if that's why Marvel and DC keep rebooting all of their classic heroes. It's so that they never hit the end of the copyright, so that they can keep them copyright.
Yes.
That would make sense.
They're like, we got to make sure we do this like every 10 years so that nobody can ever use our stuff.
You do a little one shot with them at the very least. It's still technically your IP. Yeah.
I mean, the mouse does it too, so it's fine.
Well, of course the mouse does. We're supposed to be better than the mouse.
Is anybody here, speaking of weird random crossovers, is anybody here a fan of the band Iron Maiden?
Yeah.
So,
not a huge fan.
Yeah.
So our listeners
know. No,
that's
fair.
Yes, but not a huge fan.
I'd consider myself a bit of a fair weather fan. I appreciate it. I used to listen to him a lot in high school and stuff, but Zombicide is doing an Iron Maiden edition.
Oh my God.
So my friend Mark, if you're listening.
Hi, Mike.
Oh, hi, Mark, if you're listening. I tell him that every time I see him.
I love that.
he just texted me the other morning. It was just a morning or two ago with a link to the CMON, Cool Mini or not, whatever you want to call them. They are going to launch a Kickstarter next month, and it'll probably come out sometime later next year. And I'm here for it so much. If you don't know what Iron Maiden is, it's, I mean, obviously a band. I'm sure you probably have heard of them, but they have their mascot is basically like a zombie.
Yeah.
And
that's going to be great. I hope that they just full metal it up. Like, metal and rock it up and just go, I want full 80s.
It would be awesome.
I would be super stoked.
Eddie is the character's name, the mascot, and he's like in all sorts of, if you just go and look at their album covers over the years, there's like World War II, there's Egypt, there's, oh God, like they put him into like almost every conceivable like form of like theme that you can imagine, and I just want all of them to fight each other and it will be amazing.
Oh, that would be great.
That's what I mean. I'm like, what else could it be in my mind? But
that would be amazing.
I could see it being the band having to fight their way through a zombie horde.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I could see that.
But all the zombies are their mascot zombies.
Yeah, exactly.
They have to fight their own creations.
I want
to
paint that so bad.
Those minis are probably going to look phenomenal.
One of our regulars, that was their first paint project they ever got onto was Zombicide.
Fantastic.
Cool.
I was like, that's a really good one to get onto just because there's so many zombies.
Yeah.
Like, was like 100 basic zombies, and I was like, it seems like a lot, but you're gonna figure out how to prime and do, you know, 2-3 coats and be kind of done with a basic zombie pretty quick. And
yeah.
I was like, that's actually kind of a nice one to go with.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. What else is on your list, George?
So, another couple that we've talked about quite a bit, and usually around the same topics, Root is going to be, continue to be a good seller, kind of an asymmetrical woodland critter Risk style game.
Yeah,
everybody
it looks
has
so
different.
Cute.
It does. It, and they've come out with so many more expansions.
Oh, say there's also. I think the last time we shouted it out, there was maybe one expansion. Now they're on 3 or 4.
I think. Like,
oh, really?
They're actually starting to come out with sequels to the original. Like, so they're doing like the Riverlands 2.
Yeah,
I think, and there are like a few others that fall into that kind of
thing. Yeah,
or Clockwork. Game is so cute.
Oh my God! Right?
So cute.
So cute.
I just want to play little woodland creatures. I wish I could draw like that. It's so cute. I can't.
You could if you tried.
Not consistently. My art style is so different.
That's fair.
I draw creepy elf ladies. I don't draw cute little woodland animals.
You draw screaming mushrooms, though.
I do draw screaming mushrooms, and that took me a long time.
I mean, they turned out.
They did.
And then kind of along those same lines, game-wise, except for non-combat-y, more like Stardew Valley-esque, kind of like type stuff. Everdell, you help the critters of the Valley of Everdell through the seasons of a single year over the course of a game. And it's a card-driven board game with gorgeous artwork.
Again, so the cute.
The board game for it?
Everdell.
It has a little tree on it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So cute.
Yes. So you're like building a tableau of cards that kind of help like give you resources and stuff.
This is exactly my reaction the first time I saw Everdell. I was like, what?
So cute.
It's like a pop-up tree. It's adorable.
It's a yet another one that I want to play, but have not yet. And if it's one that's also, it seems like they've come out with an expansion once a year. And I think it came out in 2019 originally. So they have like, I think, three expansions to go along with it now.
Very that cool. I can think of at least.
Spirecrest, Pearlbrook, and then I think there's one that I'm missing. But they all...
There's a new one, yeah.
They all add quite a bit of content. They're all pretty decent-sized boxes.
Dope.
Yeah, so it's...
I like it.
And then the last two on my more extended description list that I made that'll be in that holiday guide are ones that I talked about as soon as I got back from Christmas last year. But Taco Cat Goat Cheese Pizza.
Yep.
I know we probably talked about it enough, but just the simple description, because it's a very, very simple game, is everybody takes turns putting a card down from their hand of cards. You don't know what the card is when you play it, but you play it and everybody sees it and reveal it at the same time. And when everybody plays, you take turns saying taco, cat, goat, cheese, and then pizza, like one at a time. And if the card that you play matches the thing that's said, everybody tries to slap the center as fast as they can. Okay. And you're trying to get rid of all your cards.
I like it.
Cool.
Nice. That's games it. Like that. Super fun.
Yep.
Beat people up as an excuse.
Yep. Well, and then your other one.
So also, we're not allowed to play spoons
was
in my house.
Poetry
anymore.
For Neanderthals?
Yes, it was. Which you also get to kind of play it, you know, booping people with the little blow up inflatable mat.
Which I love. I love games that have props that allow you to hit people.
Oh, absolutely.
100%.
That's a great holiday game.
To yeah.
Beat the crap out of grandma.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In a vein that's similar but not, because you don't get to beat people, which kind of is sad, but like, I love the idea of louder than a T-Rex.
On a scale of one to T-Rex?
Yeah, on a scale of one to T-Rex for like family games with kids who mm-hmm. are already going to be hyped up on all kinds of sugar and like excited about holiday stuff. And then you just get a game where the whole point is making noise.
It's perfect.
The whole point is just to make noise.
Just give the kids the game and then lock them in the closet and let them
exactly.
have their time. They'll get tired.
Let them scream themselves out. But like a good, healthy way to scream themselves out, not like traumatizing.
Sure. Maybe not a closet.
Six to one.
Soundproof door.
Just the playroom.
Yeah.
Okay, honorable mention. I'm remembering that I had thrown over like 7 or 8 recommendations to carry our children's department by. Mm-hmm. One of those, which we've talked about, I think at least a time or two on here, which is now finally in stock. I think it came out a little while ago, but we finally got it here. Star Wars Villainous is out.
Yeah! I saw that. I was so
looking
stoked.
At the box, and I was super disappointed that Jar Jar Binks isn't on there.
As one of the villains
I
to play,
actual
correct.
Villain.
Yeah.
I am as well. But I am super stoked that Moff Gideon is on there.
Very fair.
I like George. I think we were talking about it. Mm-hmm. And both of us were like, I'm a little shocked, but not. I wasn't too shocked. There are a lot of other iconic villains, but he plays a really big role in a very large arc mm-hmm. of Star Wars. So it was really cool for them to still throw that bone over there and be like, you know what? Yeah, we're going to bring it in.
It was Vader. For sure.
Vader, Ventress, Moff.
Was it Darth Maul? No.
No, it wasn't Darth Maul because they have Kylo and
Line.
He's the Jedi Hunter. Oh my god. Multiple arms.
Grievous?
Oh, thank you.
There we go.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm like, I can't bring up his name. He's the Jedi.
I've never seen Star Wars.
I was like, it can't be Grievous.
It's the darkest character in the entire series.
I like how you just
slipped
that right under the radar there.
That's okay. We forgive you.
And then I think Palps.
Oh, there was 6 of them? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think there was Palps. Because I want to say was there 6 or 5?
I think it's 5.
5? Okay, then I just
remember. I thought the box only had 4 figures on it, but they could have just been giving
I felt like I saw more than the normal.
All of us are just refusing to use our phones.
That it is Ventress, Moff, and Vader. At least know those three for sure.
Vader
because
has
I saw Ventress.
To be on it.
Well, I saw Ventress and was like, yeah, Ventress, because she's one of those really cool, like, Sith Jedi or Dark Jedi turned neutral Jedi turned dark Jedi turned neutral Jedi turned everybody can leave me the fuck alone. And that's my favorite part about her is that at the end of her story, most of her bit is. Yeah. I'm just done with all of you.
I'm just saying that I will never not believe that Jar Jar Binks is a Sith Lord. You can never convince me otherwise.
He's the whole reason the Emperor takes power.
He's absolutely a Sith Lord.
Okay, so we did get there with the villains, but minus Palpatine.
Okay.
Is just five.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
I was like, I remember seeing more than four, but yeah, then no Palps. But Moff is really cool because he does have a big role to play with the whole Mandalorian situation. Mm-hmm. And I don't even mean Mando as in, or Mandalorian as in like the show, but I mean specifically like
the fall of Mandalore.
The fall of Mandalorian is kind of mostly by his hand.
Yeah.
And so that's one of those cool things. That's how I also knew they weren't going to do Darth Maul. Right now, can I get my tongue right?
No.
Darth Maul and Gideon are kind of their iconic dark saber wielders right now.
Gotcha.
At least for the dark side. They've got a couple on the light side as well. But for the most part, they're kind of their like pictures of like, oh, it's the dark blade. It's either in Darth Maul or Gideon's hands.
That's fair. I just always... anytime somebody's like iconic Star Wars villains, my brain is like Darth Vader, General Grievous, and Darth Maul.
Darth Maul is so cool. Yeah.
He's so cool. Head. I love that guy. So cool.
I was just listening to how his like origin story, like how he got re-picked back up as a character, and how like Lucas had that whole thing planned of having him fall into the pit in case later down the road when they wanted to do some, like if they were like, man, I wish we could bring him back. He was literally like, We can, guys. That's why I threw him down a pit. So that if we wanted to bring him back, we could. And be like, Luke fell down a giant hole and didn't die. Why couldn't he have not fallen down a giant hole and died?
And I was like, I'm so glad, because his arc in the Clone Wars TV show is so cool.
Yeah, and that was why Filoni was like, I wish we could do that. And then Lucas was like, we can. If you want to do that, we can. And he's like, okay, let's give everybody what they wanted from Darth Maul and not the 20 seconds we get of him.
Yep.
Chrissy, we should watch the original trilogy at some point.
I've seen 4, 5, and 6.
Okay.
I have not seen 1, 2, and 3. Those are the only ones I think I haven't seen besides a couple of the newer ones.
Do you get to watch 1, 2, and 3? Just watch them with the idea of it's people with lightsabers fighting.
Well, yeah.
Don't expect
that. I mean, isn't
that
just the show or the movie? You know?
That's what I... Yeah, a lot of people get angry about them all the way around, and I'm primarily a Holy Trilogy guy anyway, but at the same time, the Clone Wars and all that the prequels have their place for other people.
And then we should watch Rogue One, because...
Donald Glover's in that, right?
Yeah.
I will watch it. I love him.
That Rogue One
Youngish Gambino.
I think Rogue One has been my favorite of all of the new Star Wars... stuff that's come out.
Oh man, Corey would be mad if he was
listening.
Although
Han Solo was really good too. So
yeah, Solo was really good.
Childish Gambino and Oldish Gambino is, you know,
yeah,
real Lando, but that's okay. My bad. Go ahead. Just keep going.
Holiday games. All right. Do you have any holiday games that you tend to play with the fam and such?
Oh, okay. So my partner and I have been playing Pictionary at his parents' house.
You can't go wrong.
That's classic.
I feel like that's just a really good game to play with a group of people.
And the great thing about Pictionary is you can buy Pictionary,
mm-hmm.
but you can also just
do it.
Play. You can just have everybody write down prompts and put them in a bowl, mm-hmm. put them in a popcorn bowl, and just pull paper and do Pictionary.
Since we're talking about just like recommending things to buy for people, it's like if you know anybody who's a Magic fan, a Pokemon fan, anything like that, cards are always going to be the way to go, especially like collectible cards.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to mention that in general, just like Magic cards of any kind are great. Buy those.
Also, if you celebrate Christmas, they're a great stocking stuffer.
Yeah.
We also happen to have custom packs downstairs.
Tell us about our custom packs. We interrupt your regularly scheduled program for an ad.
No, Drew, don't. They're cool.
We have legacy draft boosters, essentially, downstairs that we have that have our little game sticker logo on them, are wrapped up. They're your basic standard draft booster, just in a legacy format. Anything from anywhere, from any time. Who knows?
I think they're really cool. People have been really loving getting them, so...
We're still adjusting the formulae and getting as close as we can to Wizards, but we also don't print the cards, so I don't have all of the cards. I can't just go, boop, there's another one for my pack. So we're trying to get as close as we can to kind of how Wizards has their standards for foil, droppage, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. There's your rare in every pack, things like that.
Nice.
I think, though, I don't think we give out as many foils, but we give out way more uncommon or non-basic lands.
Mm.
Like, you get a basic land in every pack, but I think it's like 5 out of 10 packs you get a non-basic land because we have quite a few of them. So
nice.
Sometime down the road, speaking of non-basic lands, we have an iron in the fire with a fun custom thing, but that's just a teaser. I'm not going to.
Yeah. You know what? Well, let's tease it. We're looking at making tokens and special lands.
Might be themed to something related.
Yeah.
To the store that sponsors our podcast.
Possibly.
Maybe. Who knows?
What store? We don't want to give away too much.
Well, if you didn't know, our podcast is sponsored by Adventures Underground in Richland, Washington.
Keep going, Hannah. Keep going. I was also going to mention, I know we talked about this like not that long ago, but Stardew Valley. I feel like that game is great.
Yeah.
And anybody you know who likes that game will probably enjoy the board game.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
If they can find it.
Right.
I really want to get my hands on a copy. That's like the one thing I'm contemplating not being a reasonable adult and going and getting when it comes back in. Of being like, you know what? I have a lot of other things I need to worry about, but this one I might need to pick up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my list.
That was your list?
Yeah, I wanted to bring up Pictionary specifically because I've been playing too much of Pictionary recently.
Dude, Pictionary is so much fun. So,
it's so fun.
I brought up last year, my family does a game called Charado.
Okay.
It's a game that they made up. I'm sure somebody somewhere has capitalized on it and put it in a box and sold it. But it's basically a combo of Pictionary charades, but you do it with Play-Doh.
Oh my god.
So you draw a card that has a thing on it and you have to sculpt it
out of
Play-Doh, and then your team has to try and guess what you're making, and you have a timer, so you have to do it quick, so you're like trying to make something to make it look like the word that you're trying to do, and they have to guess, and it's hilarious.
Somebody did box it and sell it.
I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did. Yeah. Like I said, I'm sure somebody somewhere.
That sounds so familiar. I'm pretty sure Cranium's the one that did that.
I don't know if Cranium came out with it first or if my family did, but we've been playing it since I was a child.
Yeah, no, that was just one that I was like, oh, I know I've seen somebody who's boxed that. Who is it? My family used to work for Starbucks for a million years, and I was like, oh, I'm pretty sure Cranium had one of them, and like their main Cranium pack has a Play-Doh kit in it.
That wouldn't surprise me. It's so much fun, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's so much fun.
Like you were saying, it's not a super hard concept, but it's one of those ones that will let you go for forever.
Well, and there's so many people who don't like Pictionary because they like, or my mom specifically like hates Pictionary because she's bad at drawing. I'm like, that's the point.
That's the point.
Okay.
Well, and this is like a whole nother level because nobody's good at sculpting.
Well, speak for yourself.
Speak for yourself.
I'm so good at sculpting.
So good at sculpting. I pull out my sculpting tools.
Yeah, I'll bring out my little texturizers. Yeah.
Speaking of pulling out your tools and texturizers, we're about to go play not a board game, but we're about to go play Jackbox with my parents for
dope.
Very fun.
Dad's birthday. A new one just came out. He's all excited. I'm excited because my phone has a stylus this time. And it's like meant for me to like do things.
I used to play with my Twitch friends on my tablet, and everyone would get so mad at me because I was just using my art tablet to draw stuff. And they're like, "How are you so good at this?" And I was like, "I'm cheating. I'm using a pen."
Yeah, Katie was doing that the last time we played.
Yeah,
she's like making faces that are like squinting with flowy hair, and we're like, "What? How did you do that?" And then we all turn and realize she's on her iPad. Well, I guess we know we're always going to know who's doing what art piece, I guess.
Right. Honestly, though, like, yeah, it's not a board game, but if you have internet connection and you have friends who maybe don't live in the area and can't spend the holidays with you, Jackbox is it's a cheap thing to buy into, and it's so much fun.
You can just get so many people onto it too.
And like, there's so many games.
They have a ton.
I love the monster dating game.
Ooh, I don't know that one.
Oh my gosh, it's so it's like, oh, I think it's called like Monster Matchup or something like that. And everybody gets assigned a monster, and you have like a secret goal that you're trying to achieve while you're dating, like whether it's like stealing people's hearts or like literally stealing their hearts.
okay.
Like, cool. Like everybody has like five, like you earn hearts for going on dates, and so you're trying to like take take hearts away from people and stuff. And you basically, like, send each other messages in between the things to, like, flirt with people and, like, things like that. And then you all choose who you're going on dates with. And if both of you choose each other, then, like, you both get a heart. But if, like, somebody chooses, like, if you choose someone and they don't choose you back, then you, like, you're sad. And it's, like, it's hilarious, though. It's so fun.
I think I've played, like, it's a Pictionary-ish, but it's, like, t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, T-Fury.
I love T-Fury.
That one's so much fun.
T-Fury is so much fun. And the city planning one where you, like, paint murals.
Yeah.
For the city.
There's so many of those games. I guess I don't know half of them.
I had one of those turn out really bad.
I'm also surprisingly good at the robot rap battles.
You've mentioned that. What?
Because I write
all
poetry.
All you gotta do is write poetry.
All you gotta do is write poetry. Yeah, and then the computer wraps it for you. You don't have to wrap it, which is my saving grace.
Yeah. That's fair. I have pretty standard holiday ones that I'm pretty sure we mentioned last year a couple of times, but like Liar's Dice.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big fan of that. It's stupid easy to get your hands on as many D6s as you want.
Yeah. Have you ever played Liar's Dice?
Mm-mm.
Oh, have you? For those of you who haven't played Liar's Dice, I just assume everybody knows at this point that movie's a million years old. Have you ever seen the second Pirates of the Caribbean?
I mean, yes.
Okay, so you know when they're sitting on the deck of the ship and they're slapping their cups down and they're saying random numbers in order and then giving each other gears of their service, essentially, and it's how he gets the key?
Yeah.
It's called Liar's Dice.
Okay.
It's literally you take 6d6 per person and you shake them up, roll them, essentially, and then you're going through guessing how many of each dice there is, but you can never de-escalate. You can only ever escalate.
So if you're playing, you roll, and you go, I think that on the table, there's 5 ones. And then Drew could go, well, I think there's...
5 twos.
5 twos.
Okay.
Both numbers have to go up, so I can either go, hey, I think there's 7 ones, or I'll be like, I think there's 5 twos. Let's adjust.
But you
that
can't go down. You can't be like, saying, I think there's 4 twos. You have to go either up, match or up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it's kind of an escalating, and eventually you call BS on somebody, and you know that depending on how you're playing or what you're playing, they lose the hand essentially, like poker. My family and I play with a lot of candy. Like we just we get our holiday candy and tend to trade away what we don't want via playing Liar's Dice. But it's a simple one that's, like I said, it's 66 per person, and you can have as many dice as you can feasibly think about at once.
Nice.
Like, I think I've played with 6 to 10 people, so dealing with, like, 60 dice, but it also is really fun.
And you're also just in charge of your own dice. Like, you only have to worry about 6 dice. There's just 60 dice.
But you're also trying to get the probability out of 60 dice.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah.
Right.
It's fun. At some point, somebody, you get to about maybe 2 or 3 turns of the table, and then somebody's like, I don't believe you. Yeah. Let's count up. There's no way that this can be happening. Yeah. No way there's 34s on the table. No, there's 34. Oh, there's 32 fours on the table. Damn it. All right. That one, we already mentioned Coup. I'm a big fan of Bang.
Bang's super fun.
I like Bang because it makes me think of Knights and Traitors, which is a magic variant that is the same game.
Right.
But I can never get enough people together for Knights and Traitors. I can't get people together for Bang.
You do need a pretty decent sized group to play Bang. You need, like, I think 4 is the minimum. But then if you have 4, you have a sheriff, a deputy, and then 2 outlaws. Yeah. And the outlaws are trying to kill the sheriff, not the deputy. The deputy is trying to protect the sheriff. And then you add different roles when you have more people in. And then you, the roles are hidden. Nobody knows exactly who everybody else is, but you
other
can kind of start.
Sheriff.
That's right.
The
yeah,
sheriff
that's
is,
right.
Is revealed. And then if you are Magic players, go check out Knights and Traitors. It's a really fun one. It's a 5-person. It's exactly Bang. Your king has to survive for 15 rounds. It's super fun. But those are pretty much my basic ones to go to is the Coup, Liar's Dice, and Bang.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to get a good chunk of groups that we didn't already mention.
My family is big on just games that you can play with a deck of cards.
Yeah.
My family doesn't buy a lot of, like, games. So, like, we play a lot of spoons. Spoons are super fun. Everybody's scrambling to grab spoons. So always a great time. One of our favorites that we play with all the kids, like, Yahtzee is really, it's a dice game.
Yeah.
Yahtzee. Everybody loves Yahtzee. And then we play one that's called Pass the Trash.
Ooh, nice.
Love Pass the Trash. The way it works is literally everybody just gets one card. And you don't share your card, you look at your card. You want to have the smallest card on the table.
Okay.
Aces are high, kings are a wild card. So you start from the next side of the dealer, and everybody looks at their cards, and if you think that your card's a little too high, you pass it to your neighbor, and you get their card. And you're stuck with whatever card you get.
Yeah.
But then you just go through the table, and everybody passes their card, and then when it gets to the dealer, everybody flips their cards back.
Okay.
And whoever has the highest card has to pay money, or pay candy, or pay pretzels, or whatever we're playing.
Okay.
And then if you have a king, you can just flip your king over, and nobody can trade with you. And that's just a safe card.
Like, nope, I'm just gonna... No.
No.
I opt out of this one.
And it's the most hilarious game, because you'll just see, like, the one person start, and they'll just pass their card, and then the card just immediately just gets passed, and you're like, ooh, that's an ace.
You do not want whatever that is.
And usually, like, you just hang on to your king until somebody tries to trade with you, and then you're like, ha ha, you can't, you're stuck with it. It's great.
But yeah, your basic card games, your basic... Oh, I probably mention it once every 2 months. Tack. Go grab that. It's fun.
Yeah, especially for a two-player.
If,
like,
if you want to sit down and play with, you know, grandma and grandpa into the big crazy games that everybody else is into, grab Tack. They'll love them. Yeah.
It's beautiful game.
I was
a beautiful game.
I was this close to getting some of Kitty from the podcast family to actually play
Tack. Oh, nice.
Because Kyle and I were playing Tack, and I could see more and more interest building every time. I'm like, well, that doesn't seem that hard. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's like chess. If you're a grandmaster chess, yeah, it's crazy and has a stupid amount of strategy. If you're just us dorks, then we have only so much strategy that we have ahead of us.
I like comparing it to a cross of checkers and chess, because it's not quite as complicated as chess.
Yeah.
But it's more complicated than checkers.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of fun strategy, and it, like I said, it's really good for if your relative or anything is super into older games like checkers and chess. It has that feel and it has that kind of draw to it. But that's all I can think of for all holiday games.
I mean, any final closing thoughts?
Clothing arguments?
Clothing arguments.
Games are fun. Play games with your family.
Yeah.
You know.
Games bring people together.
True.
Or divide people
or
apart.
Or ruin families.
Don't play Monopoly.
Get out there and play some Mario Party this holiday season.
Yeah.
Watch your friends and family fall apart.
And if you happen to be spending the holidays on your own, that Wingspan game that I mentioned has a solo play mode.
Ooh,
There's actually quite a few games out there that have solo play modes now, which is really nice. If you like solo play modes, pick up Noctiluca. It's beautiful, and it has a solo mode.
Ooh, and Mini Rogue.
And Mini Rogue.
I'm a fan of Mini Rogue as a solo player.
I have not been able to restock that one recently. I mean, you got a copy.
I got a copy. I love my copy. My copy's been getting a lot of wear lately, actually.
Nice.
Squirt and I have been back on it.
Or pick up a deck of cards and learn one of the, like, 87 different types of solitaire that are out there.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
I play so much solitaire.
You know, give the video games a break for a second, or what have you.
I mean, or play your video games, man. Play some Jackbox games with your family.
There you go. Yeah. That's fair. I mean, like, I've just been stuck on Bloodborne and Elden Ring for forever.
I've been thinking about getting Gauntlet to play with the family.
I still haven't unpacked my PlayStation, so I haven't played any games since we moved, but I really want to boot up Skyrim.
I mean, seems like it's about time. If you can't remember the last time you played Skyrim, it's probably been long enough.
Oh, so my Skyrim playthrough currently, I'm not even caring about the main quest at all. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing how much cabbage I can acquire. I'm Tamriel's greatest cabbage thief currently.
That's when you know you've played a game too much.
So nothing matters. It doesn't matter if I start the game and I don't know what I'm doing because I'm just collecting cabbage. My goal is to get so much cabbage that it completely maxes out my carrying capacity. And then I'm going to go to Dragonreach and I'm going to stand on the steps and I'm going to drop cabbage down upon Whiterun.
And you'll be very proud of yourself.
I'm going to be, dude, I'm so excited. You don't understand how long I've been planning this.
And with that, I think we're going to shove our games back in the cabinet and close it up for the evening. Get out there, succeed in your cabbage goals. We'll catch you next time.
My cabbages!
You've been listening to The Game Cabinet at the AU Radio Podcast Network. If you're interested in any of the titles from today's episode, you can check out the link tree in the description to visit Adventures Underground at their online store to browse the selections or inquire about special orders. If you'd like to contact the show, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just check out that link tree in the description. Or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the awesome shows on AU Radio that you love by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Podcast Network. You can find us at patreon.com/advunderground. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us continue to create these shows, and soon, many more.
You've been listening to the AU Radio Podcast Network. Music is provided by CubbyPurplePlanet.com and BenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio is a production of Adventures Underground. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.